The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And don't forget while you're here, also go ahead and subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel. Let's get into it. I want to start by apologizing for the later than normal start time on a Wednesday. We plan to go at 10 a.m. Eastern, but Deadleg has multiple sick children. Have you seen a doctor? How's everybody feeling?
Oh, boy.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, GP. Happy New Year. Great to see you. Great to be back on the show with you. Of course, the kids got it. We had this whole Christmas break here. And I'm not kidding, man. Like, Christmas break was over yesterday, Tuesday morning. And that's the day that the younger one decided to get some pink eye. And then the older one, he really, really got some bad pink eye. So, When he woke my wife and I up in the middle of the night, when we knew he had a pink eye situation and it looked like he got into a brouhaha or a fracas outside an Irish pub, and we knew it was going to be bad, I had to take him to the doctor nice and early, and that wound up delaying things. So apologies to anyone that's checking in live on a Wednesday afternoon for an unusually timed live pod on YouTube. We appreciate you. And if you're waiting for it to get into your phone, well, there you have it. This time of year is going to bring a lot of, especially if you have kids, it's going to bring some sickness and unpredictability, but little guy's doing okay downstairs right now and playing with Legos, and mom and I are just begging him to not touch his eye, and to, because this thing is contagious, GP. That's the other thing. The pink eye, it'll tear through a community. And so we are begging him to not touch his face and touch his eye, which he is not adhering to. And then saying, just hold a tissue in your hand at all times. Wash your hands every 10 to 15 minutes. And I tell you what, one more thing. When's the last time you had to get the eye drops in your kid's eyes for the old pink eye? Because that's an adventure.
I don't remember putting eye drops in my kid's eyes, but I get mine done sometimes in the makeup chair. I say, can you hit me with some Visine? It looks like I haven't slept much.
Yeah. I feel like you might want to use that on the pod every now and then, too.
I might need it on the pod. Need it for CBS Sports HQ. Hey, I'll tell you another thing that'll tear through a community just like pink eye.
I'm half terrified, half intrigued about what you're about to just say.
COVID. Guess who has a 7-year-old positive COVID kid?
There you go. Yeah.
My mom and youngest son have both tested positive for COVID in the past 2 days. So yeah. And I've been a little under the weather. I had like a stomach bug right before New Year's. I spent one day like genuinely sick all day long. I think it was last Thursday. I didn't throw up during that podcast. Last Thursday, but I did before after. And I did after.
I had no idea, man.
I know. I just tried to barrel through. So hope everybody's feeling better than the Norlanders in the parishes, because we're struggling. We're struggling a little bit.
We did. What are we? Interesting week to start off 2024 here, by the way. What do we want to kick it off? Because I got to say, like, there's a couple of interesting topics we're going to get into it, but I don't know if there's like a major headlining topic as we get conference play underway in earnest here in the first week of 2024.
Yeah, well, I was In studio last night, CBS Sports Network, Inside College Basketball. Be back in studio today. We've got a 6:30 Eastern show followed by an A-10 doubleheader. Then we'll have a recap show at the end of the night. And one of the things that, final thoughts on the night, that 90-second D-block that you get in television all the time. It's like, hey, we've blown through all the time, but we've got one more block to get through. We got one more break to take. 90 seconds, just final thoughts on the night. So last night I'm sitting in studio and it's like final thoughts on the night. What's the big takeaway from the night? You could have easily gone with Purdue at winning comfortably, at Maryland snapping the Terrapins 19 game home winning streak. Like Maryland had won 19 straight in that building. Purdue just goes there, records an eighth victory inside the first two quadrants. That leads the country. But I really thought the story of the night was what Illinois did to the only team that has beaten Purdue so far this season, and that is Northwestern, because Illinois played Northwestern last night, just the second game since Terrence Shannon was suspended, and they beat them dudes by 30. It was just 6 days ago that Terrence Shannon was suspended. He's been charged with rape in the state of Kansas. And at that point, it's reasonable to wonder when that happens, like how Illinois will respond to that. Like, is the team going to come together in the face of adversity or fall apart after losing such a massive piece, a guy who was projected to be a first team All-American by most? It's still too early to know for sure exactly which way this is going to go, I think, but the early returns have been great. First game without Terrence Shannon, beat Fairleigh Dickinson by 33. Second game without Terrence Shannon, beat Northwestern by 30. So here's the question for you. Mm-hmm. Even if Terrence Shannon never returns to Illinois' basketball team, can the Illini compete? Can they finish? Let's just draw a hard line. Finish top three in the Big Ten, even without Terrence Shannon.
Now that I think is possible. The court report on Wednesday, item three in it is, I reassessed going into league play. All right, here are my preseason picks for every team to win all the Big Six conferences. Where do I stand now? Some answers changed, some didn't. Big Ten obviously did not change. Purdue is on a tier by itself, and the data all backs that up. But Illinois does stand as the firm number two team right now. Now, most of that obviously is with what it has been able to do to this point, with still some actual preseason priors. Those don't fade out of KenPom until later on this month there. So it's not accounting for not having Terrence Shannon Jr. in the lineup, and nor should it. We went over that on a recent episode there, and we will see whether or not he comes back. We will have to wait and see on that. They have not dropped off at all, staying in the top three in the Big Ten. GP, that's absolutely on the table. Now, Wisconsin is entering into that conversation. It's 10-3. It got a casual win on Tuesday night over Iowa, which is not in that discussion. Other teams in that discussion, who do we want to put in there, GP? Do we want to put
Michigan State?
Ohio State?
Ohio State. I think those are the two. Really? Right? So it sounds, I think on a surface level, it sounds like, man, you lose Terrence Shannon, you're probably not going to finish top three in the Big Ten, except all you got to do to finish top three in the Big Ten is probably be better. Okay, I agree with you, by the way. Purdue's on a level by itself. So let's just go ahead and slot Purdue in there, probably as your outright conference champion, but definitely in the top three. All right, so now we got two spots. Let's throw Wisconsin up there with Purdue just for the sake of this conversation. So now you got one more spot. You got to be better than Michigan State and Ohio State and Nebraska and Iowa and Michigan. I think you can still do that without Terrence Shannon.
I think that's probably true, and it probably speaks to when I spoke with Brad Underwood after they played in the Jimmy V, and Underwood has even spoken on this again after the Shannon news. He just stands by the fact that this team that he is coaching is more collectively mature and on top of its stuff, guy by guy down the roster, from the starters to, guys that are barely playing, than any group he's ever had. Now, that is a bit of a coaching cliche. You'll sometimes get coaches saying that. And then if you really go back and fact check him, you're like, well, you said this 3 years ago and you said it 6 years ago. You want to really line those up here? So I get why coaches say it in the moment. I certainly believe Underwood when we had that discussion, although it is interesting after the fact that even if he didn't know everything with Shannon, he did give me that quote there, knowing that something potentially could be looming with Shannon again, though they did. Him and the athletic director said they didn't really fully understand the scope of everything that was happening there. I do think that Illinois is going to be one of the three best teams in the Big Ten. Whether, the Shannon issue becomes even louder, I honestly have no idea, but in the immediacy here, they haven't dropped off, and it's, it circles back to what you brought up on a show a couple shows ago, where let's just see what they are. And to this point, they are good. Oh, by the way, this is now teeing up for them to play at Purdue on Friday, one of the biggest games of the weekend there. But in my mind, just a quick aside on Purdue, I think Purdue is more likely to win the game, to win the league by three games than it is by one game. I think that's how much of a different tier Purdue is on. Now, it's probably going to lose in league play, but I just don't see Illinois or any other team on the Boilermakers level.
I don't either, but I don't think you got to be on Purdue's level to finish top three. And I think I'm not guaranteeing top three, but I can certainly envision it. Marcus Damask might be the new star. Nobody's going to replace what Terrence Shannon was doing, but Damask, he got 32 last night against Northwestern, 11 of 15 from the field, 6'6", 23-year-old, taking advantage of the extra COVID year. He played 4 years at Southern Illinois, was a double-digit scorer every single year, and you know, is now a double-digit scorer at Illinois alongside Quincy Guerrier and Coleman Hawkins. Like, that's a pretty good top three. Like, you're missing Terrence Shannon, but like, if I tell you the top three is Damask, Quincy, and Coleman Hawkins, like, that's a pretty good top three.
It's pretty good. I would say you're looking for a little potentially more consistency, like Hawkins in general, and he's had some injury issues, but it's solid. And now we'll see, if I can just kind of step back even further. Big Ten in general, league is ranked fourth overall per the metrics in overall league strength. And are we going to have a situation where it can dodge having a bit of a muddy middle, which it had last season? But let me bring this up. So last season, obviously Purdue was on its own tier, won the league by three games, which I think it's going to do again. But then you had the likes of Northwestern, a 7 seed, MSU, a 7 seed, IU was a 4, and IU did get one win in the tournament, but didn't make the Sweet 16, of course. Maryland, Illinois, Iowa, Penn State, these were all 8, 9, 10s. Will we see, you know, Purdue, let's say Purdue's a 1 seed. Will we see Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan State, will they be able to break through and get on that 2 or 3 line? Will the top three teams in the Big Ten do what the top three teams in the Big Ten couldn't do last season and have three teams ranked or seeded fourth or better? I actually think that remains to be seen, but there is some positive development in Wisconsin right there alongside the likes of Illinois. Wisconsin looks like it's got some goods to it, even despite a couple of, you know, eye-opening losses.
We got plenty of time to talk about the Big Ten all season long. We'll revisit it perhaps as soon as Friday, but for now, let's move on. There is only one conference in the country that has multiple 13-1 teams, and it has three 13-1 teams. It is the Mountain West Conference. Deadleg spent some time on it in the court report. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out, cbssports.com. We'll discuss it momentarily. First, though, a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Only one conference in the country has multiple 13-1 teams. It's the Mountain West, and they got three of them. Deadleg, you spent time in the court report today on the Mountain West. Is this clearly, and I know the answer, is it clearly the best non-power conference in college basketball? And in fact, is it better even than some power conferences?
It is on both of those accounts. So it's definitely the best, what I call, multi-bid league in the country. It is going to get, I'm close to making this a guaranteed GP. 4 bids again. This was item number 2 in Wednesday's court report. Item number 1, we didn't really get into on the pod. It's a little bit dated now, but the issue was important enough. Item number 1 was Shaka Smart going out and playing some help defense against Creighton, and that whole thing with coaches. I don't want to call it a plague, but it being a semi-regular occurrence. So if you are interested in that, that leads today's court report. But Mountain West was a strong number 2 here. Right now, Mountain West, sixth best league in the country. What's seven? The ACC, which is where the ACC finished a year ago. So the Mountain West right now rates better than the ACC. It actually rates better at the top than the Pac-12. Critically, and we mentioned the 13-1 teams. We'll get to that as well. Critically, though, the Mountain West is performing well in the games that it needs to, and it did in the non-conference. The top of the league right now. So your San Diego State, Utah State, Nevada, New Mexico, Colorado State, they right now have 11 or more wins. They're a combined 62-7, and that is not empty calories, GP, because all five of them sit in the top 40 at the net, the top 45 at KenPom. None of them have a quad three or quad four loss on the resume. And that is key, not just from a resume building perspective, but it also, the tide is rising. So because of that, you even toss Boise State in there. There are going to be fewer Q3, Q4 landmines in league play. Yes, there will be some in the Mountain West, but there will not be a lot. And because of that, and because the Mountain West right now is the only team that had every single team go 500 or better in non-league competition. Mountain West is the only one to do that. It is going to reduce the number of potential bad losses that are looming out there. While, of course, you know, there's going to be Q2s across the board, a lot of Q1s with road opportunities. I just think because of how good the teams have proven themselves to be, and frankly, the math at this point, because what you're not going to get, you would not think. I mean, this would be a stunner. What you're not going to see here is the likes of Wyoming, Fresno State, Air Force, you know, the teams that are holding up the bottom of the league, they're not going to suddenly become the second, fourth, and sixth best team in the league. So they will have a little bit of sogginess to them. But overall, GP, Colorado State 13-1, Utah State 13-1, Nevada 13-1, and Boise State's not bad either. It's not in that top five group. It's just on the outside looking in. But you know what? It's going to have opportunities to make some noise there as well. Huge year for the Mountain West, and I wanted to highlight it because this stunned me. I went back and looked. You know, before San Diego State made the title game, which was big, I thought it was huge for the conference. First time a Mountain West team ever made the Final Four, let alone a championship game. The league was formed 25 years ago. The preceding 10 years, the Mountain West, I could trivia time you, but let's just keep rolling. Only three NCAA tournaments for that conference in a 10-year span. Three total. That's outrageous. I think this year, not only is it going to get four, I think five is on the table. And I think that you'll have a situation this year, unlike last year and the year before and the year before that and the year before that, where you will have multiple Mountain West teams win NCAA tournament games. But the one thing that we probably won't have is you won't have anyone on the one line, probably no one on the two or the three. So if they're going to do it, they're going to need to win multiple tournament games and probably be an underdog in at least one of those. What are your thoughts on what we've seen on the Mountain West, and how many teams do you have ranked from that league in your top 25 and one as of Wednesday?
I have Colorado State and San Diego State, both ranked. I, unlike the AP poll, decided to pay attention to the San Diego State-Gonzaga game.
Well, I went in on that on the court report as well.
I saw it. Hey, appreciate the name reference.
Come on now.
First thing I do anytime I click on an article is I do a quick search for my name to see if I'm in there somewhere. So I appreciate that. Appreciate the shout out for the Politex column. It really is crazy. Like, Gonzaga just extended its streak of like 140 something of consecutive appearances in the AP poll. And I'm happy for them. I love that program, but they should not be ranked right now. And they especially shouldn't be ranked if you're not ranking San Diego State.
It's I can't get too up in arms over the poll because this happened, but it's atrocious by the voting collective that they. There's no case whatsoever that San Diego should not be ranked, and Gonzaga is, but whatever.
No, it's outrageous. So I've got those two ranked, but I have at certain points in the season, the other three, Utah State, Nevada, New Mexico, all on my radar. All five are in the top 40 of the net. All five are in the top 45 at KenPom. The Big Ten also the Big Ten also has five in the top 45 at KenPom. Mountain West and Big Ten having the exact same number of top 45 teams at KenPom. ACC only has four. Carolina, Duke, Clemson, and Wake Forest, which has won eight straight.
I know. Yeah, I know. Looking good.
Just Steve Forbes. They're 10-3 now. Pac-12 only has three in the top 45 at KenPom. That's Arizona, Colorado, Utah. So the Mountain West has as many good teams as at least three power conferences.
Yep.
And there are only eight teams in the country that have already won 13 games, and three of them are in the Mountain West: Colorado State, Utah State, Nevada. Trivia time.
Okay.
You name the other five.
With 13 wins?
Already, there's only eight teams that have 13 wins already. Nobody has 14 or 15. Nobody has more than 13, but eight teams have 13. Three of them are Colorado State, Utah State, Nevada from the Mountain West. You're looking for five more.
Houston?
Houston is one of them.
James Madison?
Is one of them.
So I need three more with 13. Ole Miss?
Ole Miss is one of them.
Okay, so there's three on the field. I got two more with 13 right now.
You got two more. You ready for this? I don't even want to ruin it. I think I'll give it away.
Hold on. Purdue?
Purdue is one of them.
Okay.
And you can't get this one.
I can't get it.
No.
And not ranked? A team not ranked?
They're not ranked.
My first instinct is Princeton.
Not Princeton.
Okay.
But it does start with a P.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Not ranked. Princeton, Penn, Pepperdine, Pacific. It's not those teams. A P team. I genuinely want to get this here. Not ranked, though.
Not ranked. The other four are ranked. This one's not.
This is that fun part of the podcast, semi-regular occurrence, where people are screaming at their phones.
I don't think anybody could get this without looking it up unless you
there's
are a
no
fan.
Presbyterian doesn't have 13, right?
No.
Okay, I was about to say, there's just no
unless
way.
Unless you're a fan of this team, you have no idea what I'm about to tell you.
Has 13 win starts with a P? Come on, GP. What time zone?
Oh, man, don't get me mixed up.
Oh, come on. You don't even know where the school is?
I mean, I do, but I don't know the time zone. I'm going to go Central. It feels like Central. Let me look it up.
It feels like Central, he says.
I don't right know. Right now, it's Eastern. It's 2:22 right now. I'm sorry.
It just some of these like places the time zone changes.
I look like a time zone expert? I just know right now it's 2:23 in New York City and it's 2:23 in this place.
I don't have the chat up. Has the chat gotten it yet?
Just got it.
Just got it. It starts with a P. This is a stumper. Just give it up.
Purdue, Fort Wayne.
Wow. Wow.
Shouts to John Conchar.
Wow.
How about you had
the Mastodons?
You had two spots left, and the two spots belong to Purdue and another Purdue.
How about that? Damn, I did not know.
Trying to make a run up those state of Indiana's rankings.
Top five college basketball nickname, by the way, the Mastodons.
You better watch out. You better watch out. We've already accepted that Purdue and Indiana State and Butler have flown by. Here comes the Mastodons. Watch out.
How about that? Yeah, no, I would have been searching in the dark there for a minute, GP. I did not have that. Eight of them, three of them come from the Mountain West.
Two of them come from Purdue.
Two of them come from the Purdue educational system.
Purdue is so good, they just decided to have a second team that wins 13 games.
Wow. I know. How about that? Oh, by the way, I saw in the chat someone was just asking about the Mountain West and it's projected to get more bids than the Pac-12. Yes, that is the case. According to Torvik right now, the Pac-12's comfortable, most likely scenario, and I talked about this with KB on Sunday, is three tournament bids. The Mountain West's most comfortable scenario by far is at four, and the ACC right now is at five, but its chances of getting five bids are right alongside with the Mountain West. If you really dive and you really want to really sort the data right now, according to Torvik, the ACC is projected to get 4.7 NCAA tournament bids. The Mountain West is projected to get 4.9. So yes, in multiple ways, the Mountain West right now rates better than the Pac-12 and the ACC. It's a big year for the league, and I do think it's going to continue to make some noise. And I appreciate, by the way, that you can watch more awesome Mountain West games on CBS Sports Network than basically anywhere else. The conference championship will air on CBS as well. Huge year. And this was necessary because the conference was in need of a reputation overhaul after flopping just time and time again in the tournament, only getting one or two bids for six straight seasons. They got four last season and the year before, but only San Diego State made some noise. I think they've got a real good chance here. And by the way, they got really good players. Jaden Ledee and Isaiah Stevens. Stevens was outrageously good on Tuesday night. They kind of lead the charge for a conference that's overdue for some good pub, and we are more than happy to give it to him on the show.
It's a fun league. You know, I'm obviously in studio for a lot of these games, and so you stay up late watching them. And like, when you watch a game at Colorado State or San Diego State or Utah State or New Mexico, even Nevada, like it looks like big time college basketball.
Yes.
It looks the way it's supposed to look. Except for
the bats that fly around in Nevada's home arena sometimes, you know. Although if that's the way that big time college basketball is supposed to look, Alfred's got an issue with it. I got no issue. The more bats, the better, as far as.
No, I'm for more bats.
Yeah.
I'm for more bats. Yes. I wish Baylor just built this beautiful new $200 million on campus facility.
They need a bat cave.
They need a bat cave. That place does look amazing, doesn't it? Looks great.
That might be a court report feature in the next couple of weeks. Because you know what? GP mentioned it before. I'm with you, man. The ideal size for 99% of the sport is somewhere between 7,500 and 9,000 people of an arena at college basketball. It looks awesome.
Yeah, like we run into this problem sometime in Memphis. Like it'll be like Memphis against Clemson. It's two ranked teams. And, and somebody will tweet or whatever, like, I can't believe we can't fill the building for a game between two ranked teams. It's like there were 14,000 people there. It's just that the building's 17,500 or whatever. Yep. The building's too big. But like, if you had that sells out most building, it sells out Baylor's new arena twice, basically. Mm-hmm. The biggest issue with attendance in college athletics for most is that it's not actually the attendance. It's that the place they're playing in is too big for them. And Memphis has it with both FedEx Forum and Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. The football stadium is about 25,000 seats too big. So even when they got a nice crowd, it looks empty. Mm. And the basketball arena, even though Memphis can fill that up, if you just gave me unlimited amounts of money and said, GP, you're in charge, build it, I'd build a 30,000 seat football stadium and a 8,000 seat basketball arena on campus at Memphis and fill it up every time.
Yeah.
Baylor, Ole Miss, when they did the pavilion, almost everything you see that's going to be built on campus going forward, smaller and nicer. That's the new plan. Make them smaller, make them nicer. The thing at Baylor is amazing. And the thing, and when you're watching Mount West games, they look amazing, just like games at Baylor look.
Moby Arena, right? Moby Arena, Colorado State.
Yeah.
That place looks awesome. I want to get to a lot of venues in the Mountain West, and because I live on the East Coast, I haven't had a chance to get out there. Moby might be my number one on that bucket list.
I've been to San Diego State, and I've been to Nevada, but I don't think I've been to any of the other ones.
I don't think I've been. Let me bring
I've it. Always wanted to go to New Mexico. I've never been.
Yeah, no, New Mexico. Quick power ranking right now.
Okay.
Man, there's some good ones in here, dude. I would say give me Colorado State first. Yeah, give me Moby Arena. Shouts to Moby.
I've been to UNLV. I've been to UNLV. I've been to three of them.
You know what? I've been to Thomas and Mack, but I haven't been to it for a game. But I've been to Thomas and Mack. I would say CSU is one. New Mexico, the Pit is clearly two. Man, there's some good ones in there, though. But like Boise State, you know what? Wyoming might be three on this list, but there are so many good venues in this thing, man. You've even got the Spectrum at Utah State, which can really get going. And, you know, for a good while there, it was, you know, before it got to the Mountain West, was one of the more intimidating environments at mid-major college basketball. So, yeah, I mean, listen, this is... You should genuinely be tuning into the Mountain West because these teams are going to matter come March. And I think multiple will wind up winning tournament games. Four seems basically a lock at this point. Five is absolutely on the table. Should be a fun next 8 weeks in that conference.
Before we get out of here, let's look ahead to the next couple of nights. Some interesting games on the schedule. We'll do that next, but I got to first one more word from a partner.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Looking ahead to the next two nights. On Wednesday night, we got a doubleheader. A10 doubleheader, CBS Sports Network, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. If you're watching this before then, we'll be live on CBS Sports Network with an A10 preview. Then at 7 o'clock Eastern, Dayton at Davidson, 9 o'clock Eastern, St. Bonaventure at VCU. Elsewhere around the sport, number 16, Clemson is at Miami. Stanford is at UCLA. Xavier at Villanova. Indiana is at Pinnacle Bank.
Oh, boy.
Oh, buddy. We might have to do a special episode late tonight. What are you doing about one in the morning?
I will be fast asleep, I assure you.
Oh, I was ready. I could just take my makeup off.
I honestly don't think it should be outside the realm. You know what? You just boot up. Do it half in the dark in your hotel room and just do a quick 12-minute emergency episode.
They're just me by myself laughing.
Give the people what they want, yes.
Just me laughing after an Indiana-Nebraska game. Just like, hey, everybody. That was hilarious, wasn't it?
Can Indiana walk into Pinnacle Bank?
Oh, man, I don't know.
I will remind people, many people have walked into Pinnacle Bank.
I know. So when you think about it from that perspective, it's like you just got to talk through it. Can Indiana win at Pinnacle Bank? Well, lots of people win at Pinnacle Bank. So sure, especially considering they're a blue blood program. I don't understand why a blue blood program wouldn't win at Pinnacle Bank. Do you have any good insight?
A lot of people walk into Pinnacle Bank.
Right. I would just assume any blue blood program would walk into Pinnacle Bank.
It's a weekly thing.
Yeah. Evansville is at Indiana State tonight.
Apologies for my children's pink eye, because it would have been good to even give us a little more ramp up earlier in the day to get the show rolling earlier. But what are you going to do, man? It's pink eye. It just tears through a community.
COVID does too.
Tons of good stuff here. So
Evansville and Indiana State, if you're not familiar, that's a game between the second best team in Indiana and the fifth best team in Indiana. Indiana, of course, is the fourth best team in Indiana.
I'm not going to give up the coach right now, but I sent out this. We're going to get back to the games, but I did this whole thing about, and it's not just Shaka Smart. Shaka Smart being on the court was what prompted me to be like, all right, this happens so regularly. I'm just going to finally write about this. I got a coach sending me. I've had coaches sending me videos of other coaches doing this now. Like, thank you for writing the story. This keeps happening here. I think this coach might be watching the pod in real time
And we all love Shaka, but like,
yeah, and the free, and frankly,
what he did, the clip that went viral, like might have really impacted the play.
I think it did. And that was part of why I wrote it. Again, I don't want to get too off track from the games tonight, but because Shaka, will readily admit when he did wrong. And I knew that if there was someone who could handle that, it was him. Made all the more reason why. I mean, I call out other coaches a lot of coaches do this. It's absurd. But in writing this, what you really find out is that, and no coach is 100% innocent of this, but this has actually been a topic for years that like really gets under coaches' skin and like is really, it's like a borderline boiling issue. And yet the officials just aren't doing anything about it. Like, you can give them warnings. You're supposed to give them warnings. You can give them technical fouls. And yet for whatever reason, it's just not happening. But you and I both know like this, it is a regular occurrence where coaches are stepping onto the court. And I'm not talking your guys are at the other end and you're shouting out to defensive command. I'm talking the ball is on your side of the floor and you've got your entire foot out into the playing surface. It's completely, I mean, it's completely ridiculous, man. The court's not that big, and I understand the bench size. The size of the bench and the depth between the out-of-bounds line and the bench is not that big, but yeah, this maybe writing something like that will finally curb the behavior, but it's outrageous. What do you want me to say?
Well, think about all the things you see coaches do in college that you would never see them do in the NBA.
I thought that about that, and I trimmed so it wouldn't be a longer read, GP, but I was like, I'm not even going to get into this. I did it for you, but you never see this at the NBA level, ever.
Well, in the NBA, you're not going to see coaches very often, like in the face of a player, yelling at a player. You see it every day in college basketball, every day. You rarely will see that in the NBA because coaches know you can't talk to another adult like that. College coaches, for whatever reason, think you can, but professional coaches know, like, that's a grown man. I'm not going to talk to him that way. All right. So there's that. The way coaches talk to the officials, frankly, who's the face of yelling at officials in college basketball right now?
Okay. And then we'll get back to the games of the night. Yeah, the face of yelling at officials in the sport. Chat, chime in. Let's see what you say. I'm looking at standings here. The face of yelling at officials. I would say Dan Hurley's in the top five. I would say I'm looking.
I mean, Fran McCaffrey. It seems Fran to be
McCaffrey is number one. You just got the answer. I'm scrolling through it. And then that is an earned reputation. Even if it doesn't happen every single night, Fran McCaffrey. His best, if you will, or his worst can beat anyone else's best or worst. Okay,
so the way you see Fran McCaffrey basically every game just loses mind, like that's not something you would see in the NBA very often.
Chad is just rolling with Fran mentioned. It's
like, it's, yeah. And then this, you wouldn't see NBA coaches, like, imagine for a second, like picture Greg Popovich on the court with his arms out, like he's in a defensive stance, like he's trying to deny passing lanes. Like, you just don't see that.
I know.
And the reason you see it in college is because coaches are just like five-year-olds. They will they'll do whatever you'll let them do. They'll do whatever you'll let them get away with. I have two young kids, just like you have two young sons. If I do not tell them to take a shower, they won't. You know, they don't have any interest. They don't care that they stink. They don't care that they look dirty. If I do not say, no, you don't have a choice in this matter, not taking a shower is not an option, then they would just not take a shower. If you don't tell kids every day that you have to brush your teeth before we leave for school, they're fine not brushing their teeth. You tell kids you can lay in bed all night and look at an iPad. They will lay in bed all night and look at an iPad until they fall asleep or until it goes dead. You know how you put a stop to this stuff? You just tell coach you can't do that. Hey, you're out on the court. That's a technical foul. Don't do it again or you'll have to leave.
Yeah.
You just have to draw the line, just like you're a parent. Coaches are trying to get away with whatever you let them get away with. So stop it. Hey, you can't talk to me like that. That's a technical foul. Don't say that again or you'll have to leave. Hey, you can't step on the court like that. Don't do it again it'll stop just like that. You throw Shaka Smart, and I don't mean to make it just about Shaka Smart because you're right, it's not just him. But if Shaka Smart gets in a defensive stance in the middle of a game on the court and you double tech him and get him out, he won't do it again. That'll be it. That'll be it's an easy lesson to teach. You just have to be willing to do it. And for whatever reason, they're not willing to do it.
As I readily meant in the copy, like, it is hilarious. Like, looking at Shaka doing this, like, it's at the same time, like, completely inappropriate because you're not a player, my man. But it is so funny to watch the Sean Woods, who coached at Southern last year. I linked it up in the story. There's one that's even more egregious from last year. And you get this all the time. Ultimately, you know, a couple of officials I spoke with said it's completely a leadership issue. It's on the refs to call it. It's on the director of officiating at the league level to hold their officials more accountable. And then, you know, to get in contact with the coaches. And obviously the Big East reach out to Shaka and say, hey, man, like, you can't keep doing this. But commissioner's got to lay it on the law. People are just kind of, they've been sidestepping the issue. And now we're at this point. Let's just not have a thing where this continues to linger. And then it costs, or it swings the result one way or the other in an NCAA tournament game. Because then it's like, what the hell are we doing here? But yeah, we've got plenty of names in the chat where people have been mentioning that. It's an ongoing thing. Again, not a plague, but it just happens way too much. And I just, I'd like to see it eradicated from the sport. That said, quick thoughts on the slate Wednesday, Thursday. CBS Sports Network. This is big for the A-10. Dayton, Daron Holmes is that dude. He has been that dude. We told you he'd be that dude. He's been awesome this season. Now he goes on the road, plays Davidson. I actually think it's an important game for the league because if Davidson could get the win, yes, it would help its resume out. But I think it's better long-term for a better chance to be a multi-bid league if Dayton can go on the road and get this win. And then Bonnies versus VCU. St. Bonaventure to this point is a 9-3 team. This is its first league game. The A-10's getting league play underway here on Wednesday. VCU at 8-5. Tough spot here. Plenty of time to go, but I think this is an important doubleheader overall there. Again, GP will be on the air to lead into that doubleheader, and then he'll have Inside College Basketball at the end of the night. Quick dial, tour around the dial elsewhere here. GP, Clemson at Miami. Miami has not been a Metro Starling all season. We talked about that earlier in the part of the season, but they're 10-2. They get the game at home. Clemson has done a lot of good for its resume here. Would be really good for the ACC if Miami could hold serve there. PJ Hall, by the way, is in the running with the likes of RJ Davis, Kyle Filipowski for ACC Player of the Year. Xavier at Nova. This is just Nova. Can you get this done? Xavier right now is not close to the NCAA tournament conversation. It's a 7-6 team. Nova, the game is on your home floor. Can you just take care of business? Won 3 in a row. Right now is 2-0 in Big East play. I think that's pretty big. Stanford plays at UCLA. I'm only going to bring this up in regard to, it's in the court report. This stunned me, but I saw it in Stanford's game notes. Because Stanford beat Arizona over the weekend in a game that very few people saw because it was on New Year's Eve, Stanford now is matched with Arizona. They're the only teams in the country to win a game against an AP top five opponent 3 years in a row. Arizona and Stanford are the only two teams to have done that. Coincidentally enough, they just played each other on Sunday. UCLA is out of the NCAA tournament picture altogether. We mentioned IU Nebraska. Genuinely intrigued by that game. And let's see if Nebraska, okay, you win that, then we can really start talking. And I talked on HQ earlier in the day, GP, about Seton Hall at Providence. Providence right now is 11-2. It's done really well for itself at home, yet to lose at home under Kim English. Its success has turned the conversation from the Big East being a 5-bid league into the Big East being a 6-bid league. That's helped by the fact that, you know, St. John's took care of business against Butler on Tuesday night and stuff like that. Seton Hall is the win over UConn. It's an intriguing game. That's a 6:30 tip on Wednesday night. So those are the biggest headliners. I don't know if you mentioned anything else, but it's a pretty decent Wednesday night after a slow start to the week.
Chicago State also on a back-to-back, lost to Kansas State last night. At Oklahoma State tonight on Thursday night.
Okay.
they're doing the back to back. They're trying to get as many checks as possible.
I can't fault them.
Number 15, Memphis is at Tulsa on Thursday night. Colorado is at number 10, Arizona. Those are the two most interesting games with ranked teams in them. Oregon at Washington, Utah at Arizona State. Did you notice Utah's 11-2, 2-0 in the Pac-12? I got the Utes ranked 26 in the top 25 and 1. Craig Smith got an NCAA tournament team?
He does. Brandon Carlson's is a dude. I had him on my preseason top 101 players ballot. 7-footer shooting 40% from 3 this season. Utah at Arizona State. If you are a tournament team, Arizona State's okay, I guess. I mean, they're 8-5. And road, you know, games on the road in league play, they're not easy. That's a cliche, but it's also accurate there. But can you go in, win it, and make some noise there? Plenty of intrigue in Pac-12 all around. Colorado can win the Pac-12. I think Arizona is going to host its one true challenger in the league to win it. We'll see. Colorado has not even been fully healthy, but it hasn't mattered because KJ Simpson has been an All-American. At this point, I think it's fair to say that with the way that he has been playing and helping uplift Colorado amid other injury issues, he is in that conversation. That is the best game of Thursday night. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. 9:30 tip on ESPN. And then you've got Oregon and Washington. I mentioned earlier, Pac-12 right now, trending toward 3 bids. Okay, Arizona 1, Colorado 2. If it's only 3, maybe Oregon or Washington's the other. If it's not Utah, 4, maybe. But Oregon at Washington, that's a key one for the Huskies. You know, on your home floor here, you need to take care of business. We'll see if they can get it done overall. But yeah, Pac-12 populates. And then, oh, by the way, JMU will continue to try and be undefeated. It plays at Louisiana on Thursday night and try to get by without a scrape. We'll see if they can get it done. I would think Memphis is going to be able to take out Tulsa. A little bit improved in year two under Eric Conkle is Tulsa, but Memphis is the better team, and I would expect it to emerge there and continue to help.
One thing to keep an eye on there, I believe I read.
Is David Jones sick?
Yeah. Okay. He hadn't practiced all week, so you never know how that's going to go. Everybody's sick. My kids, your kids, David Jones.
I know. Well, that's pretty much everybody. So
everybody.
Yeah, so there we there we go with all of that. No, but yeah, I hope everyone has been able to stay healthy. You mentioned some COVID issues. Yeah, in-laws got it as well. So hear that. And it's just kind of, it's all spreading around. One last thought though. Arizona 10-3. Someone asked me this from my mailbag and our research team couldn't dig it up yet either. I don't know the answer. This might not be findable, but someone asked me. So right now, Arizona's 10-3. This past five games have been loss, win, loss, win, loss. Now it's home against Colorado. Let's see what they have in mind. Tommy Lloyd has yet to lose back-to-back games in his career. And someone asked, do I know the record for the longest start to a head coaching career before a coach lost back-to-back games? I don't know what it is, but Tommy Lloyd is more than 80 games in and has not yet technically happened. If you have the ability or desire to actually research this and find me on it, I will give you credit on the pod and in the court report. But that's a deep dive there. Impressive nonetheless that you get to halfway through your third season and yet still Arizona under Tommy Lloyd is yet to lose back-to-backs. It will try and keep that going with a win on Thursday against Colorado.
Hold on. I'm doing a quick research project here.
Yeah, you can't get that.
I tried. Yeah. I got to year two with Brad Stevens.
He dropped two in a row?
Yes. That loser lost to Loyola Chicago and Milwaukee back-to-back.
That guy is such an overrated coach.
Nobody ever talks about that. All they ever talk about, Brad Stevens took Butler to the title game 2 years in a row. Yeah, that's fine. But what about the time when he lost to Loyola Chicago and Milwaukee back-to-back?
Well, I'll tell you this. Stevens and Underwood hold the record for most wins in the first three seasons of a career, and I think it's 89. So I'm looking up Underwood right now at Stephen F. Austin. No back-to-back losses in year one.
Okay.
No. Oh, now year two, three in a row to start. Northern Iowa, Xavier, Baylor. They got him. That's
it. Damn it. Let me check Louisville and Kenny Payne.
Stop.
I got to check. You got to cross everything off the list.
Yeah.
Just to make sure. Yeah. You got to make sure. Let me see.
You're outrageous.
Okay. Louisville, go back to last year. Did they ever lose back-to-back games? Oh, shit. They lost a bunch of back-to-back games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They lost their first nine.
2 year, someone in the chat saying 2 year Tony Hinkle might have it. That might be true. 2 year old Tony Hinkle might hold the record. Yeah, he might have gone until he was a good 7, 8 years old before taking back-to-back.
He was tough. He was tough. Well, I think that's enough for one day.
I think it is.
Let's go. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry M.F. Antigo. He's a legend. I hope he gets to that Foster Pavilion someday.
I think he will.
I think he probably will. Shouts to Huck and Larnell. I hope Huck gets there.
Is Huck still with us? I have no idea.
He should be.
He should be. I got no idea.
I have no idea. I haven't heard from him in a while. Yeah. He didn't reach out to me. Huck.
Huck's, by the way, for those who aren't understanding the bit here, Huck is a dog.
Huck is a dog. And Larnell is he's just a friend.
Yeah, Larnell. By the way, Larnell's still lingering around the shouts.
Yeah, right. Forever.
Forever? Okay.
He's a legend forever.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody gave us $230,000 just because he knew DeAndre Ayton.
All right.
How is that not a legend?
All right, fair enough.
Anybody ever given you 30 grand just for knowing somebody?
I wish.
You know? Larnell's a legend forever. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple and Spotify, there's more of us than there are of them. That should be reflected in the comments. The Mountain West is one of us. That seems pretty clear.
I think we have a podcast first. You have endorsed and reported that an entire conference is one of us. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can ride with it. I think the Mountain West would be good with that as well.
I think the Mountain West would embrace that label. So make sure you subscribe. Make sure you reflect everything that needs to be reflected in the comments. And we're going to talk to you again real soon. Till then, take care.
The time has come for drag queens to save the world.
Drag queens save the world. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is back on Paramount Plus, and for the first time ever,
I want you to use your talent for good,
for a change.
8 iconic queens are competing for the charity of their choice.
This is how you do drag.
Who will slay it forward, win cash for their favorite cause, and a coveted spot in the Drag Race Hall of Fame? RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, new season now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.